may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Good afternoon. This is a scripture that I've referenced a number of times in the last few years. I've referenced it a lot lately. A couple of months ago, I don't know if it was right before the election, just before the whole second surge came, the Lord was just speaking some things to me personally and what my assignment was personally, pastorally, and prophetically. And he said, Chuck, I'm a God of hope, and I've called you to speak hope because there are so many people that are speaking things that come across like hopelessness, as if evil were prevailing. And evil has its moments, but in the end, the kingdom of heaven is advancing, and God's purposes will prevail. And as a matter of fact, the enemy always plays into God's hands. God always uses what he does, and the serpent always swallows itself, always. But I think that out of sincere desire, this is not a word of judgment on anybody, but out of real desire and heart and compassion to see things happen a certain way, that people have spoken a lot of, I call it dark poetry, and it really has left a film of hopelessness and despair and confusion and anger. And the purpose of it all is for the enemy to create division. That's what he desires to do. He even made a statement, Jesus did, about a kingdom. And he said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, it won't stand. And he was talking about the fact that he didn't cast spirits out by the power of Beelzebub, because that's not even intelligent. Demons would never cast out demons because they have enough sense to realize that division will cause a kingdom to not stand. It's interesting that demons often understand more than Christians do about Christianity. And the enemy is therefore always trying to create division, and because he knows it's hard for the kingdom to advance at the pace that God desires it to. It's happening. The church can travel first class or travel coach. It's up to them. I prefer traveling first class as the kingdom of God's advancing. It's a lot more fun and a lot more comfortable. This is the scripture again. This is Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now hear again what it says. Now may the God of hope... Does that God ever gotten angry? Yes. But is that his disposition? No. Does God's heart ever get grieved? Yes. But has God lived with a depressed heart? No. He says he's a God of hope. And all of you know that that word literally means a confident expectation. You could add of good or of God's purposes coming to pass, but a confident expectation. Now may the God of hope, and I believe this is one of those DNA scriptures. This is one of those verses that needs to be a part of your spiritual vocabulary. You need to let this become an implanted word that James talks about, because it has the capacity to make wholeness happen in our lives. Our souls become more whole. Now may the God of hope fill you, not touch you, give you just enough so you can survive. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That's God's will. And if you and I aren't experiencing all joy and peace, and he goes on and adds, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to supernaturally fill us with all joy and peace so that we can abound in hope. And it's a supernatural thing. It transcends circumstances. It transcends politics. It transcends situations in your personal life. Transcends relationships. That's a really significant word. But there's one word I didn't read. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Not just have hope, but abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to abound in hope and be filled with all joy and peace. But that was a little phrase there, in believing. If you aren't being filled with all joy and all peace, and you aren't abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, joy and peace and hope by the Holy Spirit, it's because you're not believing something right. And when I see parts of the body of Christ be frustrated, be angry, to be this, such an intensity about them that my favorite sacrament is the sacrament of fun. If you can't have fun in Christ, but when I see that, the anger, the frustration, the focusing on other stuff, it's because they're believing the wrong thing. They may be observing some things that are actually happening, but they're believing the wrong thing. Do you understand the difference? I can observe and be honest and go, wow, that didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to, and there's going to be some real consequences for that. But what am I believing? Am I believing that evil is prevailing and therefore life is just going to be horrible? Or am I believing that I have a king and that king is reigning and his kingdom is advancing and it's not dependent on any person, any country, any political party, that God's winning? You know, it's an interesting thing. It says, I think about the enemy who the whole advancement towards the cross and the enemy's desire, just like he began when all the children were killed and he was trying to kill the Messiah, and his desire to stop it, to stop God's purposes from becoming to pass. And then how just the torture, the suffering. I mean, he didn't just want to win. He wanted to just brutalize the purposes of God, destroy, annihilate, make a point, exclamation mark, 10 of them. And all the Christ went through and he hung on the cross. And then there's darkness, maybe even an eclipse of the sun. There's storm, there's earthquake. There's then all of a sudden, something happened. A veil was rent. And as the demons were screeching in anticipation of the destruction of God's purposes, there couldn't have been a darker hour in human history, much darker than the one we're walking in this world. And the veil is rent, and in the midst of darkness, Jesus cries out these words, perfect. That's what the word "it is finished" means, tetelestai, perfect. I think at that point, there was a confused and yet collective on the demonic side, oops, because it was there that the reign of sin was broken. It was there and in the resurrection that the whole kingdom emerged and came forth. It was there the reign of Satan was defeated, totally. But if you were there standing and you were a follower of Christ, you'd sold everything, given away everything, left your profession, left your family, traipsing around the countryside, and every hope, every dream, every prophetic word. John the Baptist, remember? He got confused. He was the greatest man who'd ever been born of a woman. He was the greatest Old Testament prophet, and he got it wrong. He had some parts right, but he thought the kingdom in the natural was going to be manifest then, and he sent word, are you the Messiah? About his cousin. Because John the Baptist got it wrong. He believed some things, but he got some things wrong, the timing wrong. He believed something that wasn't true. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those in that scripture who are unoffended with me. And then he praised John the Baptist, just celebrated him. He didn't get mad at us when we get it wrong, but he wants us to get it right because he is a God of hope. Nothing has changed about that. He wants to fill his people with all joy and all peace and cause them to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's in believing. What do I believe? And if I had stood at the cross that day, and as painful as it was, but I knew what was happening, he's winning. Even man's evil stuff, was it God's will for those people to spit on him and to beat him? No. Who did that? The enemy. But did the enemy play into his hands? Yes. Jesus never said he suffered death. He said he accomplished death. It says in verse 17, here's a little preview, slight preview for Donna of chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking or this or that or this and that, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That transcends every circumstance, every environment, every cultural stuff. That's why I said Sunday. From seeing from the inside out is seeing how he sees, praying, what are you praying about this? And I'm telling you, Jesus has got him right where he wants him. He's got it right where he wants it. And the God of hope is not in despair. And if you're not being filled with joy and filled with all peace and all joy, abounding in hope, then you're believing something wrong. And you need to ask the Lord what he believes and then come in line with what he believes. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.